Page 994 is the first reading. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The second reading is on page 790, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
There are certain words that take their meaning from their sound. And there's a crazy word for it. I think it's called onomatopoeia. Is that the right word? Okay. Yeah, I had to check with my English teacher back in the back corner. But anyway, words that the word itself sounds like the meaning. A word like gurgle. You know, it gurgles in the middle of your throat. I remember a poem, and I don't remember much about it. I'm not even sure who wrote it, but it's about the bells. And the words in there are about the tinkling, tintinnabulations of the bells. And those words just kind of evoke the tinkling sound of a small little bell. It's just ringing away. The parents' night out bell, you know, one of those. It just kind of tinkles away. Other languages do the same thing. It's not just an English thing. Greek does that. There's a Greek word, gogunzo. It means to mutter. It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? Gogunzo. Hebrew does the same thing. There's a word, ruach. Ruach. It's a guttural word. The first, it's not just an R, ruh. It's a ruh. Kind of gets that breath in there. And it ends with a ch. Say it with me. Ruach. Ruach. All right. It's one of those really neat words. Actually, it's a word which has at least three different English translations, at least three different meanings that come out of it. That's part of the problem with languages. Sometimes we get into trouble when we try to make an easy transition from one language to another. So that one Hebrew word, ruach, ends up meaning three different things that are all kind of connected. It's a word which means breath, like, you know, ruach, air. It's a word which means wind. And it's a word which is translated and means spirit. And all of those come together. And they come together also at Pentecost. Pentecost season is a time when the breath of the Spirit came like a wind, the blowing of a violent wind. And so this morning, I want us to go back to Pentecost, which we celebrated last Sunday, but to go back to Acts chapter 2. And this week and the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some of the signs, the wonders that took place on Pentecost. And today, we're going to look at that sound of the wind. Imagine you were there that morning, that day. We don't know if it was morning or afternoon, but on Pentecost day, you were part of that big crowd of people, whether you were in that room with some of the other disciples, that group of people, or whether you were out on the streets of Jerusalem. It was a noisy place. Because Pentecost is one of the big festivals. It's one of the times when people came from all over the world to come to Jerusalem to celebrate together. So it was people everywhere. And you know what happens when you get a lot of people together? You get noise, no matter how it happens. And suddenly, in the midst of all the noise, there's another noise. Only this is a noise that sounds like the wind is starting to blow. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of the wind? How do you hear it? Well, it makes a big difference what kind of wind it is, right? When you think about the wind, and when I think about the wind most of the time, I think about the gentle breeze that kind of is rustling through the trees, or Jan's sister's place where they live. They live in the middle of pine trees, and pines have a special whistling sound that trees with big leaves don't have. But the wind going through, it just rustles and it whistles a little bit. And you look outside and I think about wind and you see a flag, the U.S. flag, just waving gently in the breeze. Or you see on a boat out on the lake somewhere and the breeze is blowing, the sails are being filled and the boat is just skimming across the water. Or you step outside and it's a hot summer day and you get that gentle breeze that just evaporates the sweat and it cools you down. That's one kind of wind. But I don't think that's what they were hearing in Pentecost. I think it was the other kind of wind. It's the kind of wind that the people in Myanmar heard when that typhoon came across that river delta area. And it just devastated and it smashed houses and it drove water up on the shore. Or the people in Pitcher, Oklahoma a week or so ago, when a tornado comes through and flattens most of the town. It's that wind that is described often by people who've gone through one of those storms, like a freight train coming, the sound that's just there, you can't miss it. A loud, attention-grabbing sound. And I think that's what was happening. People in the streets in Jerusalem, all of us were saying, what's coming? Hear the wind. The amazing thing is, of course, that the dust wasn't being kicked up in the streets. And roofs weren't flying. And the trees were not bending over. There was just the sound. A sound of the rushing of a wind. Of a violent wind. These translations put it. But one thing is certain, it got their attention. But I think the sound of the wind was more for more than just to get people's attention. So they said, what's going on here? Let's think a little bit more about the wind or the breath or the spirit. A sign. The wind is sound is a sign of what happened when the Holy Spirit came in its special fullness that day. And for that, then we need to go back to other places in the Bible where that same word, the Hebrew word ruach, or the Greek word pneuma, which also is the same thing. It's the one word that's used for breath and wind and spirit. And the first place we go is back to the book of Genesis, the time of creation. And you get that interesting picture there in Genesis 1, verse 2. It's in the beginning, God is creating. And God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything, calls into being stuff, matter. And then you get the picture, but it's all without shape. The earth is formless and empty. It's still dark. Darkness is over the surface of the deep. But the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the wind of God, was there stirring over all that soup that was there. Sometimes you see pictures that were taken from like the Hubble telescope or so on, and you get these pictures of Venus, or you get of the sun, and you get storms on the sun, or you get the swirling over Mercury or Venus, some of the other planets, and you kind of get that picture. And that's kind of what it was. The Spirit of God is just moving over all of that. And it is a life-giving spirit. It's something alive that comes out of that mess that's there. And over time, then God, the Spirit of God, and God takes that mess of things and brings life into it. And so you read about plants that start to grow. And then later on, there are birds that are flying, and there are fish that are swimming in the water. And eventually, there are animals that are created. And finally, human beings are formed specially as a unique part of creation in a special way to show the image of God. And you get that because the Spirit was giving life. But this is the way it puts it in the description in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When human beings are formed, then God forms a man, a human being, from the dust of the ground. And then Ruach breathes into that clump of dirt the breath, the Ruach of life. And that man becomes a living being. Wow. And we celebrate that. This is the work of the Spirit at creation. But all too soon, this perfect world that was put together gets all messed up. Sin comes in. You read Genesis chapter 3, and it talks about how sin comes into the world. And death comes with sin. But the Bible is full of stories of rebirth. And again, that's the Ruach, or the Pneuma. That's the Spirit that goes about and brings life into a rebirth. And for that, we read this morning in John chapter 3 at the very beginning of the service. And we talk about, again, the Spirit and the wind. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he says to him this provocative statement, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. And Nicodemus says, what are you talking about? This doesn't make sense. I'm a full-grown person. How can I be born again? Must I somehow get back into my mother's womb? This ain't going to work. And you know Jesus' response. He says, well, let me tell you what I mean by that. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. You know the human way in which people are born. But the Spirit, the Pneuma, or if he was writing in Hebrew, he would say, the Ruach. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And so don't be surprised of this saying about being born again. And he says, the Ruach, the wind, the Pneuma, the wind just blows wherever it pleases. You don't control it. Well, we can understand it. We talk about pressure gradients and all that kind of stuff, high pressure and low pressure and all that. But yet the wind just kind of blows. And he says, you hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is. When people are born from the Spirit, when this rebirth takes place, it's like you can't see the wind blowing, but you can certainly tell that it is by the way you feel it and by you see its effect. The grass wiggles and the clouds move across the sky. It's a mystery, too, about how life starts. You know, we know the process by which human life begins, but it's still a mystery as to why at one time that sperm and egg unite and a new being takes place. And it's such a strange and wonderful process. And it's a mystery how somebody who's dead in sin can become alive again. The spirit, the wind, the breath comes in and takes that inanimate, dead, spiritually dead person. And the wonderful result is a living, spiritually alive being. And if you're a Christian, in more than just name, but if you really know Jesus, then that has happened to you. And it's not because you were so much smarter than somebody else, that you have all the wisdom that makes it possible for you to make the right choice that you chose for Jesus, and other people just aren't smart enough. It's because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives you birth and created that new life in you. And you celebrate that. Celebrate every spiritual birth that takes place, because it's the Spirit. But then there's that passage that Shirley read this morning from Ezekiel chapter 37. And I think that's one of the most interesting stories in the Old Testament. That vision that the prophet has of these valley of dry bones. And I love the spiritual. And I wish we could sing it, but you gotta have the right person. I asked Dan to do it, but we decided not to do it that way this morning. But anyway, you know the song, them bones, them dry bones, and you get the knee bone connecting to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone connecting to the hip bone, and all these bones coming together. I hear the word of the Lord and all that. And it's a really neat song. But it comes from here in Ezekiel chapter 37, and you get quite a picture here. And Ezekiel sees this valley, and it's full of bones. It's like there had been a big battle there years before. And people on both sides had been killed, and they died, and they laid there, and nobody took care of their bodies. They decomposed, and all you got left is a bunch of bones. And there's nothing more desolate looking than just a bunch of bones. And then God comes and says, okay, so can these bones live? Well, my answer would be, no way, God. Ezekiel's a little wiser than I am. Ezekiel's response is, well, God, you know. I can't imagine how it could happen, but if you're asking the question, you must have a reason for it. Maybe you've got the answer for it. And so God goes on and says to Ezekiel, he says, okay, preacher, you got a job. You're going to preach to a bunch of dead, dry bones. You look pretty good, I'll tell you. Sometimes it's a little, not always all that with it, but not a bunch of dead bones anyway. But can you imagine having the job of standing up in front of a valley full of bones and preaching to the dead bones? But he does. God had given him a challenge and given him a call. And so we read so I prophesied as I was commanded. And this wasn't in some powerful sermon that Ezekiel is preaching, because he says, as I was prophesying, I started hearing noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And pretty soon there's tendons that show up, and flesh covers the bones. Did you see the picture that was up here at the beginning? A little gruesome, wasn't it? You probably wondered, what about that? But it was kind of in the middle of the process. You still saw bones, but you also saw some kind of standing up and a couple arms reaching up and attached together again. And they start coming together, and the skin covers them. But still no ruach, no breath. There's still a problem. No life, no spirit. And so there's another challenge. And Ezekiel is told, keep preaching. He got another message to bring. He says to me, prophesy to the breath. And this is where, which one of those words? Some of the other translations say, okay, prophesy to the wind. It could be either one of those. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, come from the four winds, from all the corners of the earth, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. And so he prophesies again. And this time again, it's an effective message. And I prophesied, and breath, ruach, entered into them. And they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, and they started moving around. And they were a vast army. Wow. And then God says, let me tell you what this is all about. He says, this is about Israel. The people of Israel at the time of Ezekiel are in captivity. They've been taken away from their land. They don't amount to anything. They're like a bunch of dead, dry bones. And it seems like this is a hopeless situation. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. But you know what? God is a God of hopeless cases. God speaks to us when we're at the bottom, when we're at the end of our rope, when there seems to be no hope left of dry bones. And God sends His Spirit, and the result is life and breath. And the end of the last verse that Shirley read this morning says, I will put my Spirit, my Ruach, in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. You're going to come back. You're going to be a nation again. You're going to be alive. And so when the people of Israel returned from their captivity, I'm sure some of them at least celebrated the fact that this vision happened and the breath of the life-giving Spirit affected them. So, go back to Pentecost. We're back in the streets of Jerusalem, and you hear the sound, the sign of that sound of the wind. And I think of all those references that we've mentioned before, it's that dry bones thing that ties in the most, because it's about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit is still taking deadness and making it alive. What happened when the Holy Spirit came? What happens when the Holy Spirit comes today into an individual or into a church and brings newness and life and breath? That's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And it's one that we pray for and that we celebrate today when it happens. Here in Valley Church or with us as God's people here or wherever we are, when the Spirit comes and gives that new life, what is it that happens? And I think we could see it in maybe three different dimensions of the wind of the Spirit and what happens in a church or happens in an individual. And the first thing that happens is the wind comes, the Spirit comes and blows out, cleanses, gets rid of the dust and the cobwebs, because the dryness of tradition and the cobwebs of fear and the dust of apathy come so quickly, don't they? Maybe you can think back in your own story. And you think back to your own conversion, to the excitement you felt when you said, it makes sense. God loves me. Hey, there's a better way to live. And all comes true. And it, wow, this is fantastic. And you get excited. And then sometimes it just kind of quickly goes down. Maybe you think back to a time when there was a special blessing that came in your life and you just think, wow, and you rededicated your life to God because this new baby was born and you just see the power of that new life and what it means for you. Or maybe it's a tragedy. Sometimes it's tragedies and sadness that brings us again back to God and close to God. And you say, wow. But then again, how quickly? Back to business as usual. And you need the ongoing wind and breath of the Spirit to blow out the dust. It happens in churches. I've seen it here at Valley Church. There are times when we look back in our history of our years together, and there were some exciting times. The 40 Days of Purpose, for example, was a time when we all worked together. We read through that book and we studied it and we talked together. And there were really good things that came from that. Or I think about, you know, just last couple weeks ago, was everybody working together for that women's retreat here. And it was a great thing to see and to watch. And when God brings new people and new families into the church and we get excited about that, sometimes it just doesn't last. And that's why we pray, Holy Spirit, keep blowing. And blow out with a new wind of the Spirit. Blow out the dust. blow out the cobwebs of fear and of apathy and of routine. Where do you need a cleaning? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Come like a wind, blow out that dust. But a different picture of the work of the wind of the Spirit is, maybe you can imagine, picture a balloon. And a balloon that just lays there, staying flat and useless, unless the wind, the breath, fills it and expands it, and it starts to become visible and you see the message on it or whatever is part of it. Needs a blast of air to expand it. And that's the positive side. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit comes with newness and with fresh ideas, new visions, new feelings, new actions. And it gives that vitality. I'm thinking about what happened when some people got the idea, we could do a live nativity. What, 5-6 years ago now already? But what that brought and the wind of that newness brought to us as we worked together and made it happen, and we continue to make it happen. Or I think about when we said, what is our vision? What is our statement? And we came up with, we are about shining the light of Christ in this valley where God has placed us. And there was a new vitality that came around that. And I'm hoping that for our young people today, as we work with this download idea, some of them you see them working, taking notes and thinking, and the hope is that this is going to be a new vitality for some of the youth in our congregation. They can say, how can we talk about and think about what's being said? Pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to give us new ideas, to meet new challenges, because the world keeps changing and the challenges are always there, and we say, I need a new thing. God, give us something new to touch the world as it is today. The principles that you find in the Bible, they stay. They don't change. But how do you do it? How do you carry them out? How do you implement it? That needs to be fresh. And so the prayer is, blow, Spirit. Blow your wind. Blow your breath into us as a church. And that needs to be a powerful wind. That's kind of the third part of this wind of the Spirit. Because it wasn't a gentle breeze that came on Pentecost. And it's no gentle little breeze that's needed today. The Holy Spirit comes as power. Remember what Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It sounded like a violent wind that they were hearing there in Jerusalem, filling the whole place. You see, it takes a strong wind to get things moving. Inertia is a really powerful thing. You get a big boat in water, and it just sits there. And it takes a pretty good amount of wind in the sails to get it to move. It takes power to move us from where we are to where we want to be. My prayer for Valley Church is that the Holy Spirit will blow with power in us as individuals and us as a body, giving us the strength to change what needs changing and the courage to maintain what needs to be maintained in a world that is moving away from God. And it takes power to do that. You see, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, nothing was ever the same again. For the kingdom of God that came on that day burst out from that group of a few people in an upper room in Jerusalem, so that within a few years, comparatively few years, the entire Roman Empire was impacted and changed. And it was the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit that came, and it turned a nation of pagan Frisians into Christians. And missionaries even. And it's that same wind and power that still is working. And in China, you hear the stories, the amazing stories that in the midst of persecution, the church is growing and people are coming to a new life, and it's the impact of the gospel. And the question is, what more is the wind of the Holy Spirit going to do in Broome County and surrounding areas. Blow, Spirit. Blow. Let's pray.